How are you guys doing today? Good. Only two people are doing good. That's cool. You're good. Thank you, Daniel. So I learned something cool. You know how Daniel said that the boys had to bring like sleeping bags and all that kind of stuff? I learned I upgraded recently. Since I got married, I don't fall in that category anymore. I get like an actual bed where there's like pillows and linen. So hence, get married, you get upgraded rooms, guys. Just keep that in mind. Once you get married, you get upgraded rooms. You're no longer part of the cabin folk. You're in the room area. Isn't that cool? But it'll be great regardless, even if you're in the cabin. Don't get me wrong. Those are fun. You'll be kept all night up with boys making lots of fart noises and smells, and it's great. It's great. I remember one year, I think this was like when I was in junior high, we had fart wars. Okay, this is a guy's story. Girls may not relate to this. But we had fart wars, and we tried to fart in each other's cabins more. So you get a lot of guys trying to lock the doors so other guys don't run into their cabins and, you know, release toxic gases. But this is what I remember from retreat. This is great. Jesus is there too, don't forget. I feel like there's a strong imbalance on the left side versus the right side. There's like, is there something I don't know? Is there a boycott? Is there a war, turf war? No? No, everyone? No? Okay, I was making sure because there's like 50 people here, 20 people here. But that's not, well, if you guys don't know me, my name is Josh. I go to the San Ramon Church. If you don't know, we have a San Ramon Church. Hi, Daniel. So, yeah, I'm Josh. I like long walks on the beach. I'm married. I go to work. I show up to church every now and then. Just kidding, I go to church a lot. And, yeah, you can get to know me more. But I have the privilege to share with you guys this morning. If you haven't seen me around, I just figured I'd introduce myself. I think it's been a while since I've been able to share here. So, well, hello. Before I start with the word, I kind of wanted to share a little bit. Who's registered and going to retreat next week? Yeah. Now, who's excited to go? Yeah. All right. So I did this in San Ramon, but who's gone to retreat like at least 5 times? Keep your hand up. Five times? All right. Who's gone like 10 times? 10 times? I still get to keep my hand up on this one. 15 times? This is where my hand goes down. No. Cool. Bob is the lone winner for 15 times. That's impressive. Oh, Yancha too. All right. Wow. You're old school. I thought I had like a lot of cred because I've been to retreat like 10 times. But then in the San Ramon Church, you have a lot of the more seasoned people. And then I'm like, oh, I'm down. Oh, 20 years. It's like, oh, I don't get to compete with that. But I wanted to talk a little about retreat because I hope you're excited. I hope you're looking forward to it. And I wanted to share a little bit about retreat in the sense that I want to be honest with you guys that I think I'm thinking back to like all the different retreats I've gone to. I will say that there have been a couple times where I really didn't want to go, if I can be honest with you. Like I went because my super awesome church brothers and sisters encouraged me to go, like, Josh, you should go this year. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's just retreat. It's the same like last year and the year before that and even the year before that. I don't know if anyone has thought of that as well, in that, oh, I don't want to go because it's like the same thing. What's going to happen different? We're going to go. We're going to sleep in the cabins. No one's going to actually sleep. We're just going to be there. And then Saturday morning, you wake up super groggy because you're all up all night Friday. And you just kind of like, oh, I don't want to go. But then I thought about those years where I didn't feel as excited or as ecstatic about going. And I was thinking like, what did God give me those years? Or what did I receive? And I still remember, like, I actually share one with Pastor Jules. So Pastor Jules will be speaking for us this year. I remember one of the retreats I went that he was also speaking at a retreat I went to. And that year I wasn't like totally stoked of going, but I still went because I'm a good church boy. And that's what good church boys do. We go to retreats when we're asked to go, right? Amen. Amen. But I remember this one very clearly because it was, I think, 2012, maybe 2013, one of those years. And he was Pastor Jules was speaking, and this time he called my name out. We kind of know each other a little bit. Yeah, we know each other. But he had a word for me, that retreat. And I remember him sharing that word with me, and it was so relevant to my life at that point. Like the prophecy he gave, like, really spoke to me. And And I say this because it can become something like what I call faith markers. Like if you look back in your journey of faith, if you look back in your Christian walk, I'm sure you guys can remember certain retreats, like certain things stick out more than others, right? It's like a reminder of like, God, you are so good. Like this is something I received from this retreat. This is something I received from this retreat. And you can remember these things. There's another one that I remember. I just straight up ugly cried. Like, have you cried? It's just ugly. You know, you look at yourself and everyone's just like, your eyes are puffy and the tears are flowing. Like, I remember there was that retreat. I just straight up ugly cried. And I don't know why. But I remember that there was just such a peace and I felt God just hold me and tell me that you are good, that I love you, that I am with you. And there is just these things that I can look back and remember. And I'll be honest, not every retreat I was looking forward to going, I just have this preconceived notion in my mind that it's going to be the same thing over and over again. But God is ever changing, and he meets us where we're at in life. Amen. He meets you where you are. So I want to encourage you to not have this mindset of, oh, it's the same retreat. No, it's going to be every year is different because God has something different for you all the time, right? You're never in the same place in life. You're always somewhere new in life. And as a result, God will meet you where you are. So be encouraged. And this is one of my favorite things is because when you go retreat, you tend to make friends, hopefully, right? You make friends. You meet new people you haven't met before, or you talk to people that you maybe haven't talked to as much. And I remember that you can make really great friendships. So keep an eye out for people who are just walking by themselves or seem a little lonely or don't just sit in the corner. Be a friend. Be a friend. Talk to them. Reach out. And, you know, these can be people that you have long-lasting friendships with. I can think of a couple off the top of my head, like people that I got to know during retreat and, you know, we clicked and we're still great friends to this day. So I want to encourage you to be that friend as well and look forward to retreat because God's going to do something great. Amen, church? Before we start, why don't we just close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, we thank you for you are good. We thank you that you are here in this place with us, that you've given us a place to come and worship, to come and hear your word, to come and build relationships, to have a community, to do life together. We thank you so much for blessing us in this Sunday that we can come and just worship together, sing praise unto you, hear your word, be encouraged and encourage others. We thank you. I pray that you speak to us today, that you would fill us with your word, fill us with your presence, and let us take something home that we can use and meditate upon and grow in our walk with you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, do I get a clicker? Oh, there is a clicker. Okay, cool. Thank you. Look at that multimedia team on the dot. So, today's topic is devoted to the basics, and we're going to focus on walking in the light. I hope you guys realize I'm not too serious of a person. I'm a little more on the light light side. Get it? Just kidding. All right, so our topic is walking in the light. Just kidding. Church is fun, right? Church, smile. Don't be so down. We're in church, guys. Tell a compliment to your neighbor. Tell like something nice to them. Say something nice. Encourage them. Be like, your hair is on point today, dude. Those kicks are fly. Something. Tell your neighbor something. Put a smile on their face. Cool. Did they like the compliment or did you lie straight up into their face? No? Okay, cool. So we're going to read today from 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Let's read along, shall we? Can everyone read that? Yes? If not, you can open your Bibles. It's like this thick book with a lot of chapters and pages in there. If you don't know what a Bible is, it's maybe underneath the chairs. So verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just
and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah, that's great. I know, it is great. So, as I said, we're going to talk a little bit. I hope to not totally blow your mind out today too much, but I wanted to talk a little bit more of getting back to the basics, getting back to like the core fundamentals of our faith and what that looks like. So in our journey of believers, you know, we're all on this journey, we're all on this faith walk together. We need to realize the basic and essential things so that we know what our goals and callings are in life. There's a quote which states, "Going back to the basic strengthens your foundation." I like to put an analogy of basketball. If you like basketball, some of the basic thing is just, you know, being able to dribble a ball. If you can, you know, your basics are sound, your basics are good, it's a good foundation and platform for your life, for where you're going, especially in our faith. And I hope to touch points on some of these very basic things for us that we may be able to strengthen our faith and walk forward together. Daylight. Light. So if you were reading with me in the verses, there was a strong notion of light. Who knows what light is? Yes? Everyone knows what light is? Great. Because Jesus is the light, am I right? Yeah, is the light. So what does the light do? It illuminates things, it makes things brighter, you can see, you're not scared of the dark anymore. Who's scared of the dark? I used to be, not anymore. I grew up a little bit, just a little bit. But as a believer, we need to realize that we no longer live in darkness, like how we did before accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Hence, after accepting Jesus, who is light himself, our lives are no longer in the darkness, but in light. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. So Jesus is the light. So even Jesus himself says that for us to follow him, we no longer walk in darkness, but own the light of life. If we have been living in darkness, doing and being involved in dark things, or even getting stuck in the darkness itself. Hence, as in John 1, 6, we'll state that we are not living in the truth. So as believers of Christ, as followers of Christ, we should not be walking in darkness. We should be walking in the light. What is darkness? Darkness is an encompassing of sin, of things that do not please the Lord, of things that would turn Jesus off. Like what are you doing? Like, if you're doing something that doesn't feel like it would be honoring, glorifying to the Lord, that's walking in the darkness. And we are children of light, so we are to walk in the light there. So one of my favorite examples is, have you guys ever had this science experiment where you go into like a really dark room and you light a candle, and then you light the candle, the candle just like fills the entire room, right? Even the smallest candle in the darkest room will fill the entire room up with light. It doesn't take much, but just a little bit of light can fill the entire room, and that's the power of light. Have you guys heard of Martin Luther King Jr.? He's a pretty well-known guy. He says here, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." That's a really cool quote, I feel. That if you scientifically, if you know that you can't create darkness. Darkness is an absence of light, right? You can't generate darkness. Darkness is just there. You can only make light, which drives away the darkness. And that is what it is. That's what Christ does, that he drives out the darkness. So what do we learn? Light is good. Jesus is light. Everyone follow me so far? Right? Pretty straightforward. "I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning." More than the watchmen wait for the morning. So if you don't know what a watchman is, it's the person who watches for the morning. It's very profound. But in the olden days, you have people who wait for the morning, that they look forward to the morning. They're keeping watch. And we are to do that. We are to be more alert, like, where is the light? Where can we find this light and be on guard and look for this light? So in here, it's saying that there's a deep abyss, and the only hope is God as a light to help set us free. that you're on the daybreak. Like if you hear, like if you watch those super cool old war movies, like wait till the dawn breaks. You know, this darkest before the dawn breaks, and you're just looking forward to the light of the morning. And that's what it is. Like we're looking forward for Jesus. We're looking forward for the light of Christ to fill our lives. That was the first point. Light, right? Light's important. Two. We want to be able to walk in clarity. Now, what does that mean, to walk in clarity? It means not only do we put our hopes in God, but if we do not want to fall back into the darkness, the bondages of sin, we need to walk in the truth. We need to walk in the clarity. And walking in truth requires effort and sacrifice. So one, there's light, right? We need to, there's the light, there's good light. Light is good, light is Jesus. Two is we need to walk in that light. We need to walk in the clarity. I like to think of our walk, of our faith. It's kind of a race. It's a marathon. We had this retreat actually a few years back, interestingly. The title of the retreat, the theme was called The Amazing Race. So if you guys ever watched the show The Amazing Race, it's like where you got all these stops and everything. We kind of incorporated into the games. But the title of our retreat was The Amazing Race. It was meant to be a representation of our life. Because in our life, in our walk of faith, you know, we start at a point and we're gonna finish at a point. And it's a race, it's a marathon. And this here says, people cheer runners but abandon walkers. You know, you're more like, yeah, run. But when you run, you're more likely to tire out. You have these spurts where you're just straight up going, and then you're gonna eventually need to stop, break, you know, and kind of, you know, distract and recover. But walking, I feel, is more of like the efficient thing, you know? You're just going to keep going. I'm a walker, guys, as you can tell. I'm not quite a runner. But you just keep efficient. You just keep going. You're not as worn out. You're not as worn down. But you have the ability to keep pace. And because life is a race, there are many times when you just keep going at it, and there's going to be a point where you fall off that racetrack. You stumble. You fall. You scrape your knee. And what are you going to do at that point? So when you walk with God, it will affect your heart. As you continually walk with God, as you grow in that sense, that God will keep pulling you back into that race. So walk with him. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. This is meant to encourage you that in your walk of faith, in your walk of life, that you go and you walk with God, because he will encourage you. The Spirit will be there to encourage you in your walk of life. There's this kind of like neat little quote thing. It says, you talk with God, no breath is lost. You walk with God, no strength is lost. You wait with God, no time is lost. As you trust in God, you will never be lost. I like this because it's like when you talk, you naturally lose your breath. But here it says you don't lose your breath. When you walk, you know, your strength isn't lost. When you wait, no time is lost. You trust in God, especially, you will never be lost. So I want to encourage you that one, you know, that Jesus is the light, and that his light is what sets us free. It's what gives us freedom. It's what gives us joy, peace, and love. And we need to walk in this clarity. We need to walk in line in that. This is how we want to do our life. We want to walk in the darkness. We want to walk in the light, not in the darkness. And you walk in this clarity. And so those are my first two points. And you're wondering, like, where is Josh going? Where? It doesn't make sense. I'm building up for my third point. This is my third point. This is my finale. And it's starting with confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Who here likes to be wrong? No one likes to be wrong, right? Everyone likes to be right. And everyone likes to be in the right. No one likes to be in the wrong. The reason I found this point so important is because, do you often find yourself easy to declare when you're wrong, or when you, like, okay, so I'm married, and I don't think I always find it easy to tell my wife when I do something wrong. like, I need to confess to her, I did something wrong. It's easier for me to be right, which I usually am. Okay, she didn't say anything. We'll just move with that. But it's usually easier to be right than wrong, and it's usually easier not to confess, right? It's inherent in our human nature. But this is so important because we as humans, we're not perfect. We as people in this race of life, in this walk, this marathon, we aren't perfect. And we don't want to walk in the darkness. So how do we do that? How do we not walk in the darkness? Well, you need to shine light in that zone. And the way you shine light is that you start with confession. The first thing is, of course, we need to confess our sins to God. Like, Jesus, forgive me for blah, forgive me for da and la. And that's, I like to think, like, if I mess up, like, I'm going to tell, like, straight up, like, Jesus, I'm sorry I did this, and please forgive me for this. But I always find it harder if I did something wrong, like, to tell Dorothy, I'm sorry I did this. I don't know why. Do you find it harder to tell people? It is harder to confess to people than it is to God, right? But this verse here says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I remember when I was in LA, we had this group of guys, and as a group of guys, what do you call ourselves? We wanted to be super nifty with our name. We called ourselves brothers. You know, it's very mind-blowing. What are you? We're brothers in Christ? We're dudes. We're going to call our group brothers. And we call ourselves brothers. And the reason I really like this group and this time in my life is because our goal of gathering together was to be able to be open with each other, be able to encourage each other, be able to walk and do life together. And I liked it, but, you know, it at first it's very, very superficial. Like, okay, guys, what are we going to pray about? I need you to pray that I spend more time in prayer. Oh, okay, sure, we'll pray for you for that. Or like, I need you to pray for my test next week. Okay, we'll pray for that. But you know, you don't start off with like the heavy things. Like, you need to build a relationship and all that kind of stuff. But our intent was that we wanted to get down into a place where we can confess to one another what our struggles are. We can confess what we're, a little more than the superficial stuff, because yes, we all need to spend more time in prayer. But, you know, we wanted to get to things that really sometimes are deeper and darker struggles that we confess. That's harder to confess to your brothers and sisters. You know, we finally got to a point where we were, you know, like, we were able to share, like, hey man, like, I'm struggling with porn. Like, it's just so hard. Hey man, I'm struggling with getting back to my old friends who encourage me to do not good things that don't please the Lord. Hey man, I'm struggling with having sex with my girlfriend, and to get to that point where we could share and confess these things, there was such freedom, there was such peace, there was such ability to walk in the light and not in the darkness. Because when you shine a light to these things, the darkness starts to fade. It's not going to be like right away done, but once you bring these things to light, especially to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have the ability to walk hand in hand. You have the ability to encourage one another. You have the ability to not be in darkness anymore. And that's so big. And I think this is such a timely topic, because with the retreat next week, I feel that this is a great time for us to really think and look inwards and see, where do I fall short? What do I need to confess to the Lord? What do I need to confess to others? And the biggest thing is taking that first step. Because it sucks. It's hard. I remember the first time I had to tell it was actually, I confessed to, or I shared with my old youth pastor in LA. I told him, like, yeah, dude, I've done it. I say dude. Okay, we're cool. We're tight. So I say dude. I was like, hey, dude, I've been struggling. I've been falling short in the sexual temptation with my girlfriend. Like, and there was a freedom. There was the ability to walk in peace and have someone who could shine a light in my darkness and cast that away. And that's hard. And that's hard to do. But when you take that first step, it's so big. You know, as I get ready to close, I'd like to invite the musicians to lay down some goodness behind us. But I'll tell you that being able to be the first or being able to share like that, it's hard. It's not easy. But this is big right here. It says, nothing you confess could make God love you less. I didn't mean to rhyme, but it did. But nothing you confess can make God love you less. That is so true. Don't let that be light. Nothing you confess can make God love you less. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks when you share with them. And they shouldn't, and if they're your true brothers and sisters, they won't judge you either way. They love you. They want you to walk forward in light, in Christ, and look forward in life. That they won't judge you because of these things. In fact, it builds a deeper relationship. Like the people I shared my struggles with, like it's like this. We're tight. We can share anything with each other. And they encourage me and I encourage them in their walk. And it's so strong that it's scary. I'm not going to lie. It's scary. So I'm going to share. I know we're a fairly Asian church. And I know in Asian culture, it's hard to show the parts where we fall short. It's hard to share the parts where we aren't great because, you know, you want to present your best self. And I know that's very strong in an Asian culture, but I want to speak against that today because nowhere in the Bible does it say we need to show our best selves. We need to show who we are ourselves to our brothers and sisters. We show who we are. We don't show our fake face or our best side. We show who we are on the inside so that we're able to walk life together hand in hand and grow together and learn more about each other and encourage another. And I believe this is a church that if you share with a brother and sister, that they don't judge. In fact, they want to see you succeed. In fact, they want to see you move forward in life. They want to see you walk in the light, not in the darkness. Therefore, you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so they may be healed. The power of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, I just want to take, you know, these last few minutes. I want us all to close our eyes. Oh, Father, you are good. You are good. You don't judge us. You merely love us. You want us to walk in the light that you've paid the price for. I pray we just look within our hearts, within our inner being, that we look, is there anything we need to confess to the Lord? This is the perfect time. Let's get ourselves right before God, especially before next week when we go to retreat. Let's look in our hearts and see, where have we fallen short? Let's shine light on this darkness. There is no condemnation here. There is no condemnation. There is merely love. There's merely peace. There's merely acceptance that Christ welcomes you with open arms. There is no judgment, no condemnation in this place. If you have something you need to confess, just speak to the Lord right now. Just in the quiets of your heart, speak to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Yes, Father. You are good, Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord. For it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God, you love us so much. You love us so much that you forgive us for our sins, that this is one of the most fundamental things that we could do. We confess our sins and God will forgive us. He'll make us righteous again so that we'll be able to walk in the light, walk in the clarity and shine light upon the darkness. And the second thing I wanted to talk, as eyes close, is being able to share with our brothers and sisters. I know that's not easy, and I don't expect you, if you aren't ready, to share with them now, but I want to plant this seed in you that it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, James 5:16. Just ponder that in your own spirit. Is there something I can confess, I can confide the darkness that I have inside of me into a brother or sister, into your care group leader, into pastor, even to myself? I am open ears, and I will walk with you. But let that think. Let that thought instill in your head. What can I share? What can I get help with? Who can walk with me in this life? And I will say from my own experience that being able to confide in someone you trust in your walk of faith, that it's done wonders for me. It's taken me from and grown me in my maturity, in my faith. Father, you are so good. You are so, so good that no matter how far short we fall, that you still love us, that you don't condemn us. Rather, you come to us and tell us, come, my child, in open arms. We confess our sins and you make us righteous and pure. And if we confess to our brothers and sisters, they encourage us, they bring us forward, they keep us accountable. How good it is to be in your place, Father. Father, we just thank you as you have planted these seeds in our hearts. We know that you are speaking to us in our innermost spirit of who we can share with, who we need to ask forgiveness from. Let us not be caught in this culture of I'm perfect and there's nothing wrong with me. And so let us be caught in this culture of how can I help my brother and sister? How can I grow? And this house is a house of openness, of transparency, and of love and acceptance. Let's stand together.